So, okay, this is lesson number 41 in under the subject titled, Which Mind? We will finally get, we've kind of gone down the sidelines a little bit here the last few weeks, and it would appear that the things concerning the mind is not so much a matter of, or much of the subject matter here, but actually it is, and we will see the day for, we'll be getting back into this list of minds we can find in the scriptures. But one of the things we're focusing on, and whether it's clear or not, is that we have been looking at this title of given to Paul, Paul the prisoner of Jesus Christ, and therefore we're in the book of Acts. And looking at when this actually, this ministry given to Paul actually was recognized, not necessarily put into action yet, but that it is something that we find in the book of Acts that's directly related to him and what he is going to have revealed to him. That is the Apostle Paul, and how that will be used in our own dispensational. So this is kind of a dispensational study, sideline study here that brings us to the point that we're going to be seeing the mind, some of the minds that are mentioned in Scripture that were dispensational, and then we're going to look at the ones that apply to us during our dispensation. I don't know if that made sense what I just said, but hopefully it will open up. I'm going to have you turn to Acts 26. I'm not going to read the verses that we've read every week for the last several weeks, but this small passage here, 19 to 23 in Acts 26, we're going to look at, and that's one of the things we're going to do today is get Paul to Rome. I apologize for last week. There was a period of time there that we had some problems with Pal Talk. I've done an extra pair of eyes today to pay attention to that. Hopefully we will catch that if it happens again. And so it might be, I'm not going to go repeat what we did last week, but it was an important aspect here that Paul is got to get to Rome. And he himself had a desire to do so. And it appears to me that that desire to do so came about at the time, or after the time, that we read of in the book of Acts, that Claudius was, the emperor at that time, passed an edict that was, that told the Jews they had to leave Rome. And so many of them were scattered, and many of them, actually as a result, a positive result, Paul ran into, he met along the way, some very special people. And so, we look at the fact that the book of Romans was written during the Acts period, and, we don't want to read into the book of Acts something that's not there and vice versa. Let's look at this particular passage, and we'll begin our thoughts with this. We're going to get into Rome today, and hopefully in a short period of time. And I said Acts 26, didn't I? And we're going to take the book of Romans and kind of go backwards with it to understand that during that period of time, toward the end of the book of Acts, that what was written in Romans was something that was always written about in the scriptures. There's five mysteries that are spoken of during the Acts period. We'll probably take a look at that in short over the next few weeks. But we don't find things in there that, that was apart from prophecy. The things we find in the book of Romans is, Paul makes it clear, it's written. It is written. And that's what we want to focus on a little bit, but we'll see that in Acts chapter, or in Romans chapter 15. But let me stay on course here. Acts chapter 26, I'm going to begin this time in verse 19. And we read this. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus, and at Jerusalem, and throughout all the coasts of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple, and all went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day witnessing both to small and great. This is what he's doing to this day in the book where we're at in the book of Acts. Small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. That Christ should... So he says that the things that he has spoken up until this particular time is found in the prophets and Moses. And to be more specific, he says that Christ should suffer and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. So, I don't know, you could probably, somebody might argue that, well, some of this stuff is definitely from, you know, what I'm going to read about in the book of Ephesians or something like that. And, you know, the fact that Christ is going to suffer and that he would first should arise from the dead and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles makes it more specific. And that those things are written within the prophets. The fact that it's to this people, the Jewish people, and also to the Gentiles. And we're going to see that especially when we get to the book of Romans. Of all books, which is probably one of the most read books there is in the New Testament, it's the book of Romans. And to understand why Gentiles were part of that, but to understand even more so the fact that it was written that the Gentiles would be part of that time period. And that's an important part. I don't know how much we'll cover in the book of Romans on that. But at any rate, one thing we want to observe is the fact that that there are secrets that were given after this period of time, after the book of Acts. And that's what we're really interested in. But all of these still bring us back to a subject that has to do with the mind, and hopefully we can put all that together here. So let's read on a little bit further here. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself, much learning doth make thee mad. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom I also speak freely, for I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only you, not only thou, but also all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. And when he had thus spoken, the king rose up, and the governor, and Bernice, and they that sat with them. And when they were gone aside, they talked between themselves, saying, this man doeth nothing worthy of death or of bonds. Then said Agrippa unto Festus, this man might have been set at liberty if he had not appealed unto Caesar. So we see that Paul was a couple of things happening here. One, that this actually protected him. He was under the protection of the Romans, at least during this period of time. And there were quite a few who wanted to have Paul put to death, and he was saved from that. So the Lord just used the Roman government as part of this process. One way or another, the Lord is going to protect the Apostle Paul. I think we ought to look at that very thought in itself for ourselves. We're part of this body of believers that the Apostle Paul calls the church, which is his body. And there's many things there written that gives us the assurance that the Lord cares about us and about our life and how we fit into his purposes. And we need to look in the same manner that Paul did and just let go of it and say, okay, Lord, you have control of what's around me, whatever's happening. And sometimes it's not easy to do that, but that's certainly something that we need to do in our lives for sure. And if we go back here in verse 27, before I do that, I'm thinking of a verse. I believe it's in Luke chapter 24. Let's see if I can hit this one. I think I've got it on my list, but this comes to my mind as I'm speaking. This was after the Lord's resurrection. 1:24. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came to the sepulcher. So this is when there were some sepulchers. And we go through 11 or 12 verses there concerning Mary Magdalene and some of those who had seen the empty tomb and so forth. And let's go down to verse 13. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, notice something that the Lord often has control of our eyes too. And what our heart says may affect what happens with our eyes. He says, their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem and hast not known the things which are come to pass here, there, in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty indeed in word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it, even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then said he unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. So at the very resurrection of the Lord, when he appeared to some, and he appeared to over 500, we remember that. There are two in particular that he appeared to who were followers of him and witnesses of him. O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And I'll stop there with that reading. But we see here that he spent a lot of time here, and he did so over a 40-day period thereafter with many. And he expounded unto them the scriptures and the things concerning himself. So over in Acts, we have the issue that Paul had taken the reins, so to speak, or he had taken the baton and he was running with it and speaking the word. And through him, many people came to know the Lord. But we have the same issue. Now this comes down to believing Jews and non-believing Jews. That's what the book of Acts, really the importance of it is. And so are the books written by Paul during the Acts period. And very few people, it's interesting, that very few people see that really that's what those books are talking about. They're written directly to Jews for a particular reason. And it's usually flipped, that they recognize Gentiles, but they don't recognize the fact that all those passages of Scripture are associated with the nation of Israel. And that and another 95% of all the Scriptures speak of that very subject. And yet many people today have very little clue of how the Gentiles fit into this picture at this particular time. And so back to Acts. After we read Acts 26, look at verse 27. And when it was determined that we should sail into Italy. So from the fact that Agrippa and Festus had this little side conference here between them, and they're going to have him as a prisoner taken to Rome, it goes immediately to chapter 27, and to the fact that they are already on the road, so to speak, to go to Rome. And so 27, 28, first part of 28, speaks of that very thing. It speaks about Paul's trip to Rome. And we want to do one more thing before we get into Romans chapter 15 here, and that is look at a few verses here at the end of Acts. We've heard them hundreds and hundreds of times. But in particular, we want to pay attention to some words that stand out here and that mean something to us. Kind of need some more light. Is that all the way up? Turned all the way up. Sorry, folks. It's getting kind of hard for me to read here. Dark in the room. Anyway. bear with me a moment. Okay, back to Acts chapter 28. Let's start in verse 12 here. And I'll try not to take too long to get through this. And let's see. So this is when Paul arrives into Italy. And because the haven was not commodious to winter, and that in the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phoenice, and there to winter, and that's not exactly where I wanted to begin. I'm sorry. I'm starting at the wrong verse. I've been reading too many here. I'm in chapter 27. And I need to be in chapter 28. So let's try again. Verse 12 of chapter 28. So I apologize for that. And landing at Syracuse, we tarried there 3 days. And from thence we fetched a compass and came to Rehoboam, and after 1 day the south wind blew, and we came the next day to Puteoli, where we found brethren. And who are brethren? So the word brethren itself, if you look at the definition of it, can mean several things. It could be your literal next of kin. Brethren. It can mean believers. In fact, I'm going to read you, I believe this is, let me find this. I'm going to read you from Strong's, Anyway, Strong's lists the several things that we can read when we read the word brethren. But sometimes it means, a believer. It could be a Jewish believer, or it could be a Gentile believer. And that's what we're kind of interested in here, whether you realize it or not, here in this portion of the book of Acts. And so when he first gets there, he says, we found brethren and were desired to tarry with them 7 days, and so we went toward Rome. So they found brethren. That was a breath of fresh air for Paul. In verse 15, and from thence, when the brethren heard of us, so he goes, they continue their journey, and there's brethren that heard of them. They came to meet us as far as Appii Forum and three taverns, and the three taverns, whom when Paul saw, he thanked God and took courage. Here was, I believe, some believing Jews. And that really encouraged the Apostle Paul. And when he came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard, but Paul was suffered to dwell by himself with a soldier that kept him. And it came to pass. So Paul got special treatment here. He had won their trust, that they could trust him, as opposed to, he's gone quite a ways from having two chains on him to one. But here the Lord has spared him. They witnessed the fact that God had spared all of them. Military people and so forth had recognized that because they themselves witnessed the very things that happened during Acts 27 and Acts 28 in that trip. It says, and when he came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard, but Paul was suffered to dwell by himself with a soldier that kept him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, Paul called the chief of the Jews together, and when they were come together, he said unto them, Men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people or customs of our fathers, yet was I delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans. When they had examined me, would have let me go because there was no cause of death in me. But when the Jews spake against it, I was constrained to appeal unto Caesar, not that I had sought to accuse my nation of. For this cause, therefore, I have called for you to see you and to speak with you. Because for the hope of Israel, I am bound with this chain. We could go into that, spend some time on that, but I think Paul makes himself clear what's going on. He's talking specifically to Jews here. And they said unto him, We neither received letters out of Judea concerning thee, neither any of the brethren that came showed or spake any harm of thee. But we desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest, for as concerning this sect, We know that everywhere it is spoken against. And when they had appointed him a day, there came many of him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. So this is an important verse to look at. I'll just mention this, that the phrase kingdom of God occurs 7 times in the book of Acts. The word kingdom, which includes these 7 times, is used once. So 8 times in the book of Acts, the kingdom is mentioned. And we need to look at them carefully and see who's making the comment. Is it Luke the narrator? Is it one? Which is the case here. This is Luke, the narrator, indicating it's the kingdom of God. Or is it the words of someone else, such as in the first chapter, verse 6, where the disciples or the apostles asked the Lord if he would restore, if he was going to restore the kingdom. And that's where we find the word kingdom used. So we can see that it was used of those who would understand what the word kingdom meant. And as opposed to the narrator, we know that the narrator, Luke, knows that, but do the people that we're referring to here understand what that means? So let's read a little bit further here. He says, persuading them concerning who? The Lord Jesus Christ. Whoa. No, it doesn't say that. Concerning Jesus. At this point, we know these are non-believers that he's speaking to. And his testimony to them was about this man, Jesus of Nazareth. And if you go through the book of Acts, you will find that name Jesus occurs. If I count it right, it occurs 33 times. I think I've said in the past it's 39, but that's not quite the case. It's 33 times. And I could say something about numerics here, but I won't at this point. But at any rate, the fact that he uses this term is important, especially in this chapter, and we'll see why in a minute. Both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets from morning till evening. So we know the source that he got this. This was not some revelation that Paul received. This was not a mystery. This was not a secret in the sense that it was never spoken of. It was hidden before the ages. It's not the case. This was something that was in the scriptures that they would understand. And so Paul did that there. And so it says, some believe the things which were spoken and some believe not. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed and were all aware of the following scriptures where Paul speaks and quotes out of Isaiah for the third time. That's not to say Paul spoke it, but rather this is the third time it occurs that this passage scripture in Isaiah is spoken of. And let's drop down to verse, and we know that he says, be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles and that they will hear it. And that's become certainly a passage or a verse of concern. And we're not going to deal with that right now, but let's read just the next few words and we're going to move forward. We're going to look at the book of Romans, which was already in existence when this was spoken of Paul. It says here, and when he had said these things, the Jews departed, or divorced. I'd like to note that it's the fact that the Jews were the ones that departed. It wasn't God that departed. And it's used of a divorce. So they chose, if we can put those together, they chose to divorce God. And had great reasoning among themselves. In 12, and of course we know about Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hard house. And notice 3 things here that we have that we don't, to my knowledge, we do not read about in Paul's lifetime before this. And received, and that's the word he welcomed, all that came into him. So Paul is given a special place here. It's this, his own hired house. And it's for a purpose. There's a good reason for this. And let's read on. Preaching the kingdom of God. Okay, Paul's still preaching. This is still the kingdom of God we're speaking of here. And teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ. Not Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you go through the book of Acts, as many places, you will see that when we speak of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're speaking to believers. This is the full person of the Lord of Christ. He is the Lord Jesus Christ to those who know him. Whether Jew or Gentile, this is the phrase that's used. So he's no longer speaking in the way that he'd had before, just before this group of people that were dismissed. They were given the name Jesus. They needed to know who Jesus of Nazareth was before they could recognize the fact that he truly is Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which includes the term of Messiah. With all confidence, this is a strong word about the fact the confidence he had, the boldness that Paul now had at this point in his life. No man forbidding him. Now, perhaps these other words you can do something with. But can we say this about the Apostle Paul ever before I read verse 31? Before I read these last few verses concerning Paul, can I say that no man forbid him? I mean, and I'm going to turn over to 1 Thessalonians. And hopefully I remember what verse this is because I don't think I have it in front of my notes. Yeah, I do. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And this is much earlier in Paul's ministry here. Oops. Well, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and I'm going to begin in verse 13. Paul speaking to the Thessalonians. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews. So, wherever Paul went, and there were converts, those converts had to pay the price, usually, of their own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets and have persecuted us. So he speaks about the Jew and the type of Jews that they were, not the people that he's speaking to now, but he's speaking about those who were against the scriptures that were being written, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets and have persecuted us. And they please not God and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sins always, for the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost. Forbidding us. This was common during the Acts period, the entire time Paul spoke. Up until the time I read the last verse of Acts, this is a fact that they deal with. And what does it tell me there in Acts? Let me read it again, only I've lost the place. Sorry. I believe it says, no man forbidding him. Preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, all boldness. Paul, you don't have to worry about anything you say now. No man forbidding him. That's the end of that. So we read in chapter 28, the end of something, and that has to do with the nation of Israel. And now, along with those lines, he's still preaching the kingdom of God, there is no forbiddance, nothing that can forbid him now. Something has changed. So this is something that's new. The door has been opened for the prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ to receive truth. And we can deal with that. We need to deal with that in much lengthier period of time. So, having said that, now we've got Paul in Rome. And the issue is that the book of Romans has already been written. And so Paul even writes the long list of names of people that he knows from Rome. People he met along his way, people that came about after they had been thrown out of Rome during that period of time that he had ministry, I think he was in Corinth, or was it Ephesus, one of the two. But anyway, that brings us to the issue of, let's look at the book of Romans. And here we're going to find, I've got a little bit of time here. I'm going to throw a bunch at you here just for a short period of time here before we close, and we'll look at more of it next week. But I'm going to turn you to chapter 12 of Romans, and we're going to slowly work our way backwards in the book of Romans. And I hope that doesn't harm what we're attempting to do here in our understanding, but I'm going to turn you to Romans. I'll just mention this. Chapters 12, 13, and 14. They have, first of all, it speaks about, I'm looking at Romans 12, 16. It says, be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things. So there we're going to talk about the mind. But if you take 12, 13, 14, this is more of the practical side. It's the side of how they are to walk. And what you're going to find when we get over to chapter 14, I'm going to read the first few verses here. Let's read. Man, I did a poor job of writing notes. Let's look at the first six verses, I believe. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputation. So you're going to see in these three chapters, there's a lot of issues between these believers here. And what is the thing that distinguishes this issue that they have between them? Well, we're going to see that it has to do, or if you read this carefully, you'll see it's really between the Jew and the Greek. I'm sorry, the Jew and the Greek, or the Gentile, and so forth. So real quickly, let's read this. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let him not that eateth despise him that eateth not. I don't have to go too far here to make it clear to you that one of the things that you're going to see during the Acts period, and you'll see with Paul, and you see this happen in Galatia, and with Peter, and with Barnabas, and several, they sat down the Jewish believers, or the Jewish leaders there, sat down with some Gentiles, and there was a problem. And that's why we have the book of Galatians beginning with what, you know, as the beginning letter Paul wrote. We've got problems already. And it has to do with the way the Jews had been raised. And of course they would be. If you had been a Jew in that day and you had kept the law in the manner that you should, this would be a problem for you to see a Gentile in your midst that you were forbidden to do. And have not only that, but to have him eat with you. And not only that, he's going to eat things that you disagree with. Now, I'm not going to read all this chapter, but if you go down a few more verses, verse 5. One man esteemeth one day above another. So there's, and he goes on, he talks about that, and he says, hey, you know, what's the big deal here? He says, you belong to the Lord. These things don't matter. So basically, these three chapters in Romans bring that to our attention. So when we get to chapter 15, and we're just going to touch on this today, let's read these verses. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. He's dealing with the selfish issue. You know, we often think so much about ourselves, we don't think about our neighbor or this one or this fellow believer or whatever. It's always about me, me, me. If we get hurt, it's even more so about me, me, me. And so Paul is saying, you're going to have to do something about this. He says, for even Christ pleased not himself. Think about the unselfishness of the Lord Jesus Christ and the extent of that, how far he went to prove that very thing. But as is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. So what's he talking about here? Is he talking about a bunch of letters that were lost during the Acts period of other believers and so forth? Or is he talking about the Old Testament scriptures? For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another. So here we have one of our minds to be like-minded. There is an issue with these believers here. There was an issue with many of the believers, believing Jews during the Acts period. It is still ongoing. If I turn a few pages and go to Ephesians, this is not the case. There is absolutely no difference, and there's not going to be an issue between the two. But here there is an issue, and he has to deal with it. He says that verse 6, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, receive ye one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Now I say that Jesus Christ, get this statement, that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision. Here we are far late into the Acts period. We're at the end of this letter that Paul writes, and he says, Jesus Christ was the minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the Father. Definitely from Old Testament scripture, he's speaking about the Old Testament scriptures that confirm these promises. And that, oh, by the way, the Gentiles fit into this picture, into these Old Testament scriptures. And that the Gentiles might glorify God for His mercy, as it is written, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing to thy name. That's one. Number two, and he again said, rejoice ye Gentiles with his people. First, he's not done. Verse 11, and again, praise ye the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people. And in verse 12, number four, and again, Isaiah says, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles. In him shall the Gentiles trust. So up until the end of the book of Romans, wherever Paul was at there, and I think he had just been through Macedonia, we'll go back and look at the time that this book was written. It makes a difference, at least in my mind. But here we have Paul expressing the issue that, primarily, I believe, to the Jews. We think about 13, 14, chapters 12, 13, and 14. There's a problem between the fact that there's Jews and Gentiles together. And this is what Paul is dealing with. Here's scriptures that Paul uses to say, this has been prophesied. So, this does not fall into Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3 speaks about the unsearchable, absolutely unsearchable riches of Christ. And we're going to get into that eventually in this lesson. But I'm going to stop there because of our time. What we're going to do next week, we'll continue with these thoughts. I've got a list of things here I pulled out of one of Mr. Welch's writings I thought was very apropos for what we're reading here. And he calls that section the preeminence of the Jew in Romans. So we're going to look at 11 passages of Scripture that tell us distinctly in the book of Romans the Jew was the one with preeminence here. And that was the case until the end of the book of Romans. It was the case until the end of the things we read of in the book of Acts. So let's stop there, and we'll carry this forward next week. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your scriptures. We thank you for what we have in Christ, the accessibility we have to the Father, and the fact that we've been made fit and to enjoy the privileges that are associated with the church, with the body. We thank you for each one here. Ask your hand upon each and every one and remind each of us of how close you are to us and how you're at our beck and call. These things we thank in the name of our Lord Christ Jesus. Amen.